Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And my guest today is a nurse practitioner, Kate O'Connor. She's actually the founder of Optimal Health and Wellness in Chesterton, Indiana. And I coincidentally had the pleasure of meeting her at the recent ILADS convention in San Antonio. And we got to chatting, and I think it was just kind of divine intervention. We needed to meet, and she needed to be on my show. I think what she does is incredible. And she didn't go into this Lyme community because of Lyme or because of anybody that she loved dealt with Lyme. But it was this journey that led her to discover that her son had Lyme disease. And so we're going to talk a little bit on both sides. I know that she got into a clinic quite a while ago, and this clinic did a little bit of kind of integrative health, a lot of antibiotics, and then she kind of took on the role of SOT therapy. And so I find it really interesting. And so we're going to dive a little bit into her perspective on integrative health, herbals versus antibiotics, because there's a lot of talk about what's better, you should do this, you should do that. Again, no one is the same, right? But I'm going to have her dive into it because she dealt firsthand and saw both sides of it within the clinic that she was working at. So we're going to touch on a lot of things today. I'm super excited to get this show started. Kate, great to see you again. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Tanya.
So let's just kind of dive into when it all really started. Like, so you're a nurse practitioner, you go to work for a clinic and didn't really know Lyme disease, like it wasn't on your radar, right? So just kind of talk about, you know, maybe why you got involved in that, if there was a background history of why you chose, you know, medicine or this. And then I really want to dive a little bit and get from a practitioner standpoint, the differences that they see with herbals, integrative versus antibiotics. Because for anybody that knows me, they know that I'm not a fan of antibiotics for multiple reasons. However, if you get a fresh infection, oh my goodness, yes, jump on those antibiotics 1,000,000%. But yeah. I just don't think it should be your first choice when you're dealing with chronic Lyme. A lot of people get well combining the two, right? So yeah. There's just a lot of alternatives out there. So I just really want you to kind of share your perspective on that because you are a practitioner. So just kind of take us from the beginning there, if you would.
Yeah. So, you know, when I walked into my first functional medicine job after getting trained in it, I had really no experience in it, but I walked into that job being absolutely terrified of Lyme and just thinking, oh my God, like, what would I do if anybody in my family got it? You know, this is, you know, can be debilitating. The patients at that clinic were very, very sick. And so I kind of saw a lot of the extreme cases of it. And to be honest, the longer that I was in it, and you know, my first experience was with SOT therapy or SOT. And after I learned about that and started treating some patients with it, I was like, this is amazing. It's an amazing treatment. It's easy for patients. It doesn't cause a lot of Herx reaction. But I knew from that moment forward that if anybody in my family ever got Lyme or cancer for that matter, because SOT helps with that as well, we got this, like, we'll be okay. And, you know, so I think just knowing that there was such an amazing treatment out there just motivated me to spread the word about it and, you know, give people that access to this type of treatment that is such a innovative and helpful treatment for those people that, may have tried antibiotics or tried herbals or, felt like they've done everything and just feel stuck. So I, quickly, started doing treatments on patients and learning a lot more. And, there were a lot of patients at that clinic that did antibiotics. And, I just remember just seeing how sick they were, how resistant they became. Not only do you have the Lyme that you're dealing with, but then you have all the side effects that the antibiotics cause that you're, now having to deal with. So I never really felt like that was my calling. I was always just more on the natural side, always wanting to kind of heal the body from the inside out and, trying other things. So, the practitioner that I worked with, she also did muscle testing. And so my kids went through a protocol with her, and she was able to muscle test. One of them ended up getting bit by something and had two bullseye rashes when I was working there. And so she muscle tested, and we ended up treating with the tincture. We never tested, so I never got confirmation at that point. This was actually my middle son, which we hadn't really talked about yet, but we had treated him with some supplements from Beyond Balance at that time. And it seemed like everything just kind of went status quo. Never really had a reason to test him after that. And so
I love, if I can pause you for a second. So we're going to talk about so many of my favorite things on this episode. So I'm really excited and I get really passionate about certain things. So muscle testing, I absolutely love, right? So many people out there are, for one, we're desperate for a diagnosis, right? Because so many times we get every diagnosis, but, or in my case and many others, our diagnosis is you're crazy. It's all in your head. So when I had to go from Western medicine to thinking outside the box, because otherwise I really felt I was going to die. And I got introduced to muscle testing. And I mean, I'm honest, it was a little weird to me. Well, maybe a lot weird to me. It was very weird to me. But throughout my journey, I really got to learn how our body works, how the muscle testing works. And I try to express it upon people, and I get it if they can't get on board or can't understand it because it is weird, right? But it truly is my favorite thing. And once I got a Igenix positive test for Lyme, I've never tested Lyme via blood work anymore. I test it via muscle testing because I think it's incredible. And that's how much faith I put into it, even with just my own health. And so I love that you had brought that up and that was something that detected it in your son, and then we didn't have to spend upwards of $1,500 to get an accurate testing, right? We need to allocate our finances really carefully in this journey. And I think that if people can get on board with muscle testing, you can save all that money and utilize it towards your treatment protocol. So I just love that you brought that up.
I definitely have, a handful of those patients that, either don't have insurance or, we can't get the Igenix testing done or don't want to pay $1,000 for Vibrant. And I'm like, look, like you've been bit by a tick. You have these risk factors. Your symptoms are clear as day. Let's just use your resources on treating. And then, once you do get married or get under your husband's insurance, then we can do the testing after the fact. But I guarantee you will feel better with what we're going to do.
Right. So you say insurance. So I know that Igenix will provide, well, I know any labs will provide you with a super bill, right, to submit to your insurance. But Igenix isn't Medicare reimbursing that, but shed some light. Is there something I don't know about insurance and testing?
Prior to me opening up my own practice, I always only did the Vibrant testing because it was about $1,000. Whereas Igenix at that time was about $2,400 for a test panel out of pocket. And then when I opened up my own practice, I was approached by a lab called Health Lab. And they're through Northwestern Medicine, which is a big organization up in Chicago. And they had told me that they had some functional providers and they had some functional lab companies that were on the list that you could run it through insurance. So they've got Genova, they've got Igenix. There's a couple other ones out there that I don't use, but I stopped in my tracks when they said Igenix, and I'm like, you're kidding me, right? So I can literally run like the best Igenix panels through insurance and get them covered for patients.
Wow, that is amazing. So, is that
Yeah.
something that is just available to the general public?
Yeah. They
That we
just have to
can.
be in network with Health Lab, which is, most major insurance companies. So, we'll do patients that have Blue Cross Blue Shield. They'll have Cigna, Aetna, UnitedHealthcare. So all the major insurance carriers. They just don't do Medicaid, but it covers about 90% of my patient population.
Oh my gosh, listeners, grab onto that. That is huge information to know because I did not know that. Thank
Yeah.
you for sharing that. That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is
So they
incredible.
are, unfortunately, Health Lab is only in like Illinois, Indiana. There might be a couple in Michigan, and then they've just started opening up a couple offices in Florida. So it is more specific to this geographical area, but still, I mean, it's something for people.
It's a big progress, right? So eventually we can
Yeah.
get them to cover more areas. That is amazing. So do you actually do muscle testing in your clinic?
I do a little bit of it. I recently went to the level one certification for quantum nutrition testing. That was in September up in a suburb of Illinois. I was invited by Tiffany, my cell core rep, and she did the class. I did the class. I'm supposed to do level two in Florida in January. So I haven't. I've been so busy that it's really hard to incorporate something like that in. But they did teach us to do it quantumly. And honestly, I really actually kind of like that better. However, I like the fact of doing the muscle testing so that patients can actually see it for themselves what their body is doing. But with the quantum testing, it's like just testing like with the finger flick, basically.
Okay.
So the cool thing about this is, and unfortunately your viewers won't be able to see this, but the cool thing about this is you can really get validation that what you're doing is correct. So, if I were to say, is that tree green? Show me yes, show me no, show me yes, show me no. Is that tree green? Yes. Is that tree orange?
And
My
it's just a
answer is
matter of your
no.
fingers whether they move or not determines
Yeah.
whether. Okay,
It's
so
a yes
that
or a
is what
no.
the quantum kind of
Yeah, so.
description of that is with your fingers.
And then there's this whole system that they go over, but basically, like you can test quantumly on anybody. So I can do anybody virtually, and I can do my treatment plan, and I can say, is ozone, would this patient benefit from ozone therapy? Yes or no? How many sessions would they need? Would they need 10 sessions, 20 sessions, 30 sessions? And then supplements and for dosing and stuff.
I love that.
Yeah, you should really look
So,
into that.
yes, I love that. So, I personally, I've used practitioners that do the muscle testing on me, which is more of, lay down with the arm, the pressure on your arm, it's, and for the listeners not familiar with this, it's a form of kinesiology.
Yeah.
And so I learned how to muscle test myself by using the sway test, right? There's many different types that you can do. So for example, Kate, I did just what you did. So as anybody could probably hear, I have a really rough voice. I battled a really nasty bug for a few weeks and it's, here's the residual of it. But during this, trying to figure out what protocol I wanted to use on myself to get rid of my bug, I would say, I would muscle test myself and, vitamin C, for example, how many did I want? I could test that my body wanted 10,000 milligrams that day. And then the next day, and of course I would dose it throughout the day. And then the next day I'd, ask if it wanted 10. Sometimes it would say no, and I would be five. So you can dose yourself. You can learn yourself if, it's going to tell you, your body's going to tell you if you even want that, right? Because personally, I don't test for anything. I think I probably had COVID and pneumonia to boot. And I was out of town when I got sick. And so when I got home, my initial instinct was, let me get out the ivermectin, right? And I must have tested myself and my body didn't want it, which I thought was really odd, but so I ran with it. So it's just an amazing tool. And like you said, you can, test people like this. And another one of the big reasons why I like it is because it's almost like a progress report. Right. So if you're doing treatment for a couple of months and then you're feeling better or not feeling better, why spend the money on the labs, right? To get retested, get muscle tested. It's going to tell what you're picking up on in our bodies, what we need to continue to treat. I just love everything about it. I know everybody's not on board, but please just be curious, be a little open-minded, especially if you're struggling and are having a hard time, getting well. This may be something that you want to look into.
Absolutely, I agree.
So in your clinic, okay, so kind of fast forward. So you're in this other clinic prior to opening your own place and learned all about the different, antibiotics versus herbal and then the SOT therapy, which, yeah, I think there's so many great tools out there, but like you just mentioned, does your body want the SOT? Does your body want the ozone? Does you can test for that, which is incredible. So when you went into your own clinic, that is kind of probably fast forward a little bit, but that is when you discovered that your son was dealing with Lyme, correct?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I feel like it's such a blur kind of thinking back on that timeline. But, it was kind of right around there. I think I just started learning more about it and really started becoming, more curious just with his kind of actions and movements. And he got a knee injury. And so the long, the effects of that and how long it took him to get over that really started to make me question things. And so I ended up, doing testing through Vibrant and, finding the Lyme and Bartonella. And, then after I kind of learned about it more, it was like I kind of noticed maybe his symptoms started after I got him a kitten who had lice or who had fleas. And, obviously, like I'm sure that she scratched him. So, started putting the puzzle pieces together with that. We determined that he had mold through testing, and that was a big shocker, honestly. I thought maybe from vaccines he, had aluminum. That's kind of what I was looking for when I did that testing. And then sure enough, the mold came back, and we moved into a brand new house that we had built in 2020, and so he was 5 at that point. And so he lived in two houses, and neither one of them did I know had mold. So I'm asking the teachers, they had just renovated their school prior to that, and I'm asking them, hey, when they renovated, do you know if they ever mentioned having mold? His preschool that he had gone to for a couple years, an old building, it was a church, and there could have been multiple places that he came into contact with it. So then kind of navigating through that whole thing, and just learned about different avenues that we could take to help detox that. We did some functional neurology and did some additional neurologic testing, and oh, he's got pans and pandas. Okay. It was like I kind of suspected all these things, but he was just kind of such a mystery because he was still such a good athlete and he's extremely smart, but like he's very high anxiety, and he's got a lot of gut issues, and he's got insomnia. So these things really mimic a lot of different things, but we're still getting those positives on the test. So so we just, kind of took it one at a time and started treating things individually, and then I'd retest and he'd be, his results would be better. So I knew that, the things that we were doing and using were helping. So it was really nice to see that validation with testing, treatment, and then retesting to see exactly what these protocols that I was putting him on were doing for him.
Right. And I know my understanding is that children can show many different signs than even adults can. And, you know, when it comes to whether they've been infected with Lyme or any of the co-infections, you know, a lot of ours as an adult, you know, some of us had just the neurological, or, you know, they have pain, or they have, you know, it kind of breaks down to that. But I've been learning more as I've had some pediatric practitioners on my show that they really can look completely different. You know, just somebody that a child that maybe can't focus, right? We all of a sudden think, you know, ADD, put them on medication, you know, that, or maybe allergies to food. If there's a handful of issues with your child, that is a good time to look at Lyme disease, right? Because
Right.
we're young. We should be super healthy, right? We shouldn't have all of these issues. And I'm not saying everything is going to be Lyme, but when you have a handful of things, maybe think outside the box, right? And
Yeah.
consider that it could be Lyme disease. And the more you did, you know, all of that on. And so did you ever figure out, or is your new home, was that mold free? And can you walk us through his protocol a little bit about the mold? Because I'm so thankful I never dealt with mold. So I've been trying to learn
Yeah.
more and more about it, because it's not something I, you know, can be very confident in speaking about on a lot of things with it. And I hear it can be really difficult to
Yeah.
eradicate.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, one of the biggest things that I have to explain to my patients when they come in and we suspect that there's mold is just that, you know, a quarter of the percent of the population are can't process or can't detoxify from mold. So this is why it's so challenging for households to really pick up on the fact that mold could be a problem because, you know, you might have one person that's really, really sick and everybody else is totally fine. And so that's why, you know, I see a lot of cases, unfortunately, where the husbands are against the wives and, you know, it's a battle between them because everybody else is fine. And so, I don't think we really ever 100% pinpointed where our source was. There's, you know, I did after the fact realize that my middle son, he used to do BMX racing and there would be an indoor track. And I mean, I knew hands down that this track was moldy. I could see it on the big rafters and stuff. It was just a cold, empty, damp warehouse. And so it took me a while to realize like why my son Hudson doesn't want to go and watch his brother race. And it's because he feels so bad when he's in that building. And so, you know, there's, you know, there have been multiple areas. We haven't detected anything in our house. And, you know, we just try to be really vigilant about if we know that he is someplace, then we detox when he gets home. And so I've used CellCore with him. I really love their advanced mite protocol. I think it's really great to be able to give it to kids and I'm able to get the capsules down, opening them up. He won't swallow pills or anything at this point, but I can mix it in applesauce and, or sorry, honey. I mix that one in honey. And it's just like a thick black liquid and he takes it like a champ. So that's what we've used for him and in his detox journey.
Okay, and yes, I love CellCore products. So is that a whole protocol of the detoxing the mold, or is it just one specific product?
No, it's a kit. So I know it has the of course, I'm going to draw a blank right now.
No, and that's okay. That's
Yeah.
not really important. I was just curious because I did a handful of years ago go to Florida for the first time, and was in staying in my room. And I remember walking over towards the air conditioner to adjust it, and I had my slippers on, and it felt a little mushy. And I crawled in bed that night to go to sleep. I did. Careful what you think. Your thoughts and your words are your reality, right? And I literally laid in bed and I was like, oh my gosh, I bet you there's mold in this room and I'm going to get mold. So coincidentally, when I got home, like, I don't know, the following month, I had a follow-up appointment with my practitioner again to muscle test me. and they picked up mold in me. And I thought, oh my gosh, it was that room. I tucked it into myself, right? But I recall the only treatment I did was one type of a binder directly from CellCore. And I want to say it was called like maybe an HTE binder. I don't know why that sticks in my head, but it was just a binder that was just attacks mold. So that's the only reason why I was curious. But yeah, no, CellCore has some amazing products. So, well, I'm so glad that your son, that he had you as his advocate and somebody who is in this field to learn and pick up on all these things, because like you mentioned earlier, Kate, there is a lot of, it causes a lot of distress within families because one parent is on board, the other one is not. My kid does not have that. We do not have mold in our house. Nobody else is sick. It's all in their head. I can understand because it shouldn't be. Lyme is really not a mystery, right? But many people look at it that it is, or that it's not really a real thing. And so it can absolutely be challenging. And I truly just think that it's like our epidemic, right? Like, or the pandemic is Lyme, and then everything that goes along with it. Like you said, you have a little kitty cat, so you get the cat scratch fever, the Bartonella. Like, there's just so many, different things. And now that there's more than just ticks that can infect us with these vector-borne illnesses, it just is really scary. And we just really, really, really need to be aware and be educated and, learn all the stuff, because you never know when you might be able to save your child or a loved one or a friend just by, gosh, so-and-so has been sick for so, have you looked at Lyme? Well, what is Lyme, right? So always great to education is power. Awareness is key, I think. So, in your practice, I know that you still do some SOT therapy, and it sounds like, I was going to ask you if you did that on your son, but it sounds maybe to me like, you did each kind of little thing. You addressed one thing, right? And then you're discovering he had something else. So was that maybe kind of the biggest reason for not just going jumping in with SOT? Like, if you came in and you're like, okay, he's got, A through Z. Oh my gosh, let me treat him with SOT. But instead you did, he's got ABC, and let me address these things, and then those get better. And so just curious, from you being a fan of SOT, right? Like, why was that not something you did with your child? And did it have anything to do with his age? I don't know.
I mean, I definitely think the biggest barrier would probably be his age and, it being an IV treatment and starting that on him. If I absolutely had to do it, that would not be a barrier for me. I would say this is what we're doing and, it's going to be okay. So I think that for me, it was just always kind of in the back of my head. I think, the most recent time that I had done his tick 2.0 test was in the spring, and I saw tremendous improvements on his levels. So I just thought, we don't need this anymore. And so I think that we've, done a lot of treatments and continued to detox and kill off. And, we're doing it very successfully with herbals and, different antimicrobial protocols. And I'm constantly like trying different things on him. And so I just don't feel like we got to that point where we absolutely needed to do that. So we've
Okay.
got it in our back pocket. And, God willing, if we need to do it at some point in the future, we will.
Yeah, no, and that makes sense. And correct me, was your son 5?
When I diagnosed him, or when I found, I mean, we learned this spring after my husband got bit by a tick. He got bit by a tick. It was latched on. We sent it in for testing. I immediately did some testing on him, and his was positive for chronic. I think he's got Lyme, Bartonella, and Babesia. From that perspective, I thought, well, it could be congenital. And so, it's possible that he's had it all of his life. But probably official diagnosis, maybe 7 or 8.
Okay. So yeah, definitely the age, that I think herbals and putting things in honey, right? And to get down your child is much easier than doing the IV. And, it is on the higher price side, these SOT therapies, which, I mean, in the big picture, right, for many people,
it's really not a lot of money because we spend so much trying to get through this journey. But so for kind of a combination of reasons for that. So I know in your practice you do, so we have the SOT right in your back pocket. It's maybe not for everyone. It could be for everyone. It's kind of very individualized, right? And we all know this, and I know that you individualize your protocols for each of your patients, right? Because we're all so different. So if we can talk a little bit about one of my other favorite things, which is ozone. So not a lot of practitioners that I've had on my show do ozone. And it really was a big game changer for me. And I'm not sure what type you use, what your protocols are. I know back when I utilized it, it was the AutoHeme, where they would take it, run it through the ultraviolet light, ozonate it, put it back in your body. And I don't hear a lot about that. And then I know there's like the 7 pass, the 10 pass maybe. And then nowadays the EBU, kind of like the ozone on steroids is what I call it. And I don't know, do you do EBU?
I don't. So I do the MAH, which is just basically IV ozone. So
Okay.
we start the IV, we give some fluids, we take the blood, and then we ozonate the bag of blood, and then it drips back into the body. So
Okay.
that's kind of probably a step down even from what you had gotten with the UBI.
Okay. And I know, like I said, the EBU is kind of, ozone on steroids, which I think is fabulous. I have not really a negative thing to say about the EBU other than the price. The price I've been hearing is just astronomical. And I feel, again, I'm just a patient, not a practitioner, right? But I feel just even what you just mentioned, Kate, just the ozone IV, you could do so many of those compared to like the price of one EBU. And I just think it's a no-brainer. I'd rather do many, many forms of, treatments of the ozone versus just one that costs a fortune. Again, I think it's fabulous. If the funds are there, go for it. But
So your research, what have you seen a session cost?
oh gosh, I've heard a lot different. I've even heard it up to 4,500. So I've heard a couple thousand to 4,500, and of course this is across the states, and maybe even somebody from another country had told me the price, but it's definitely, over that 2,500 mark from is the lowest I've heard people do it for. And of course I don't remember, this was over 10 years ago, I did the ozone treatments, but I think one of my treatment was maybe around 700. So of course it's probably more than that now, but I don't know. I just my opinion. I truly love ozone. So what benefits do you feel that people get from the ozone treatment? And again, everybody's different, but can you give us kind of a guideline of maybe how many treatments your patients do? And then, are they separated by, so many days or weeks?
So definitely I would say the biggest improvements that patients will experience is definitely improved energy and decreased inflammation. That will, every time a patient comes in and they're, debilitated from doing, just everyday tasks, they, report that they're able to complete those tasks, after doing a session. So that's really awesome to see, and it's one of their favorite, a lot of their favorite treatments. I would say, 1 to 2 times a week is kind of the what we usually recommend. You have to be really careful with ozone that you don't do too high of a dose too quickly. And so we, for our Lyme and mold patients, we do start at a lower dose and increase that with each treatment as it's been tolerated. I would say, definitely starting with like 10 sessions, but if that's the only thing that they're doing for treatment, then, they definitely need to anticipate, more. Definitely more than 10 sessions, but a lot of times our patients are doing HBOT with it. They're doing some CellCore supplements. They're doing lymphatic drainage, doing sauna, other forms of wellness supplements. We do a lot of just like regular IVs, so just nutrients in the bag, and we kind of start there and focus there because we want to replete those depleted nutrients first so that it can prep the body to detox and be successful at it. So, I find that in my past with doing micronutrient testing, I find that a lot of patients, even though they've, been on their wellness journeys and they've taken good quality supplements for years, they're still at that lower end of the reference range for optimal in their micronutrient levels. So I started seeing that as more patients started doing it, and I started realizing like that's step one. We've got to replete these nutrients first because that sets the basis for everything when we're trying to detox. And so that's been really positive, kind of implementing that treatment strategy for my patients.
I love that. So, do you do high dose vitamin C
Yep.
IVs?
Yeah, we do high dose vitamin C. I've recently kind of become more aware of like curcumin and hydrogen peroxide, and definitely would want to incorporate those once I get trained in them and learn more about them. But those I think could be really beneficial for patients as well.
Yes, I think high dose vitamin C was another one of my big game changers for me. So all the things that you mentioned, like, and I think it's great to be able to, instead of just hyper-focusing on one modality, whether it's, ozone or HBOT or whatever, I think it's great to kind of break them up and do a combination because I feel like they can each do a little certain piece, right? So, one will do this and then you can do this and it'll come in like a little Pac-Man and pick up, what this missed. And so if you have the capability, and it sounds like you do all of these modalities at your clinic.
Yeah, we
Oh
kind of
my gosh,
attack it from
all my
different
favorite
angles.
things. I love it.
The hyperbaric oxygen chamber has been really helpful for those patients, and I mean, even after one session, they'll almost just feel that. They'll feel what it's like for their body to be oxygenated, and their neuropathies will go away, and they'll feel their inflammation go down. They'll feel calmer. It's just such an amazing treatment. And I had done several sessions over the summer, and just with being so busy and not being able to get in there and devote time to that, when I had gone back in it, I was having like the most like amazing deja vu feeling because I was like, oh my God, like I'm back in it. It was just like that sense of calm for me.
Oh my gosh. So is there, I've heard it's been several years, but I've heard a lot of misinformation, which we know there's a lot of that out there, right? When it comes to Lyme disease. Is there anybody that shouldn't do or doesn't qualify for the hyperbaric?
There are certain things that wouldn't qualify somebody. Most of it just has to do with like recent like upper respiratory infection that can cause a lot of pressure on people's ears. Anybody that has like recent like lung issues or like pneumothorax or pressure in the lungs, those types of things. But for the most part, I would say HBOT is one of those treatments where it is going to be beneficial for just about everybody.
Okay, so it doesn't matter what co-infections that you have.
Oh no,
No.
nothing
Okay.
Lyme related.
Okay.
The thing that people don't realize is Lyme and co-infections, they thrive on a low oxygen environment, right? They thrive on hypoxia. So when you put oxygen in via way of ozone or via the way of HBOT, you're breathing in 100% oxygen under pressure. That's going to make it an inhospitable environment for these bacteria. So they're going to die off, right? Same thing with
Yeah.
parasites.
Right. Makes perfect sense. Oh my gosh. I love everything that you do. I know we all have our own personal preferences on things, right? But everything that you just mentioned, minus the HBOT. Like I did, it was a part of my journey, and I just think that these modalities can be incredible tools, right? Like they're all just tools to, help us get to remission or just get one step closer, and then something else can pick up and do it. And I understand these things are expensive, and it's a lot, but amazing tools that I think were my game changers, obviously. So before we end, because I feel like I could talk to you forever, right? And we do still have some time, but I want to take a little bit of time and dive in on hormones and women that, even just outside of Lyme, that they don't know they have Lyme, right? Perimenopause, menopause symptoms, and stuff like that, because hormones play a huge role in our body, and when they're off, whether it's from being, older and the perimenopause, or is it something else, right? So what can you just kind of talk all about that?
So, I mean, I think it was a big eye-opener for me. I think, I think everybody's journey is what it was meant to be. And so for me, when I started in this journey of functional medicine, even after I went through my training, I didn't know anything about Lyme or co-infections or mold toxicity. I felt like there was very little of that that was kind of covered in my introduction of functional medicine. And so, when I first got out on my own, I got trained in hormone replacement therapy, bioidenticals, of course. And again, nothing was mentioned about mold or Lyme or chronic infections. And so, I feel like, in this functional medicine space, everybody has a niche. They kind of narrow it down to their area of expertise. And I just never could really settle on doing that because I felt like if you only know about one specific area, you could be missing so much of the big picture. And or you have this area of expertise. Oh, well, I saw this patient. Now, I think that you need to be referred to this person and referred to that person and that person because everybody only knows what they know in their little specialty. And so, with that, now these patients are, required to have this team of practitioners, and that just makes things messy because you can't have good continuity of care between all of these people. And so, I honestly feel like that was the best move that I did, not specializing in, hormones or weight loss or something, because I can't tell you how many patients come into my office thinking that they just have hormonal irregularities. And I look at their symptoms and I test them and they have Lyme. And so I think that, anybody that is going through hormonal shifts, they really need to kind of look a little bit deeper and, address that why. Yes, hormonal imbalances are probably causing a lot of symptoms, but what is the reason why you have hormonal imbalances? Is it gut issues that are, ultimately responsible or caused from Lyme? Is it cortisol imbalances caused from chronic infection? Are your adrenals just so burned out from the infection that's going on? Is your testosterone low because of inflammation and infection? Insulin resistance, all of those things. There was one study that I came across at one point that talked about how women in European countries don't really go through this same kind of fluctuation in hormonal symptoms like American women do. And so it has to make you wonder, what's the difference between these two cultures? Is it, a lot of what to do with our toxicities and our diet, or is there, some other underlying root cause like the infection component?
It is so interesting that other countries, right? Like they don't have as high of an obesity rate, right, as like the Americans do. And just a lot of these other things. And I think a huge piece of it is environmental toxins, right? And our food and stuff like that. And so that's interesting. But and so that's just another kind of another one of those gut things, right? If you're having these hormonal issues, but you really don't feel that you should be, right? Like I understand a lot of people really struggle going through menopause, but where is that fine line? What's normal? What's not normal, right? And unfortunately, not There's a big box when it comes to what's normal because we're all so different. But just
Right.
to know that there could be a component to that that is leading back to Lyme disease, right?
Yeah. I mean, same thing, like autoimmunity, neurological disorders, those types of things, don't really get a root cause diagnosis in traditional medicine. And, people usually get diagnosed when they are really in a flare of Lyme. I would say that my average patient comes to me after they've seen 8 to 10 different doctors, and I'll usually kind of describe this scenario with them, and the light bulb will go off in their head and they're like, that's me. And what ends up happening is they go to their PCP. They've got some very specific symptoms. Maybe it's gut related. They run some labs, don't find anything, so they put them on a medication and their symptoms go away. All right, that's a win, I guess. But then a couple months later, now they've got new symptoms that are unrelated to any gut issues. And so, they get some lab work done, everything comes back normal. Well, let's try this medication. All right, like your symptoms go away. And then before you know it, it's just time after time that these differing symptoms start to appear. They don't seem related. So that light bulb never goes off in, a provider's mind. And, they just start getting put on all these different medications. And then before you know it, now they're having side effects to these medications. And it's like, well, what is what now? And so it just becomes this vicious circle. And then the psychiatric symptoms start to come, and then they start getting labeled as crazy because nobody can find anything, but they're just giving them a medication to kind of, calm them down and get them off their back. And so, and I try to explain to people that, with Lyme, it comes in waves. There's flares of it. So, you might have a stressful event or an infection that could increase your symptoms. And then with time, though, that's going to go away. That stressor is going to go away. Your symptoms are going to improve because your body is trying to heal itself. And then, another stressor comes along, which is, another grouping of symptoms. And so that's how they kind of wind up in this pattern of seeing multiple different providers, but getting nowhere and getting no diagnoses. And so by the time people come to me, I'm like, this is clear as day. Like, we need to test you for Lyme. And then sure enough, that's what it is. They have their answer. And I can't tell you, I mean, I have a box of tissues in my office, and everybody always, they apologize for crying. And I'm like, no, like this is why it's here. It's happened. It's normal. Like, let that release out. You've struggled with this for so long, and now we finally have this answer. And it's not tears because they're sad that they have Lyme. They're happy because they finally have an answer.
Yeah, no, it truly is that hamster wheel that we go on. And I love that you brought up, whether it's just, you take a medication and then, okay, so that symptom is band-aided, right?
Yeah.
At least for the time being. But then
Right.
the traumas or the stressors in life, whether it is physical or emotional, like those are the stressors that bring your immunity down and allow pathogens and things to take over your body. And that is why, time and time again, I've seen people come out of remission because they've had a traumatic event or a traumatic illness or something like that. And I believe that if you address all of the layers surrounding this, I do, and right, and continue your optimal health and keep a strong foundation. I truly believe that you can stay symptom-free forever.
Right.
But if you have, we know the whole biofilm thing. You got to bust down the biofilms and get all of that out, right? Because those can break open and the pathogens can come back in your body. But when I say this, I mean, it's not just about killing or detoxing, it's addressing the mold, right? Like we talked about parasites, even metal toxicities, but addressing your nervous system and then those blocked traumas and the emotional
Yeah.
side of this journey, right? Like they're releasing those emotions in your office with your box of tissue. Not necessarily sad tears, but it's, oh my gosh, I'm validated, right? Like I'm not crazy. Something is wrong with me, and now I can have hope that
Yeah.
I can get well and get off of those, millions of medications that I've been put on that are causing another symptom. And is it really that, or is it Lyme? Like it's very, it's a tough little vicious circle that we can oftentimes go down that rabbit hole,
Yeah,
unfortunately.
yeah. Yeah, I was in one training and I can't even remember at this point when it was, and the person that was doing the training, they had said that there was a cardiologist that was in the training, and the cardiologist had said, he said, "I'm a cardiologist. I don't want to treat Lyme, but I want to be able to identify it if I've got a patient that has these symptoms in my office." And that just always stuck with me because, there's just so many doctors that are just so against this diagnosis, and that it doesn't exist, that it's not out there. And for somebody to just look at it from that perspective, I don't know that doctor, I don't know his name, but I think that that just always stuck with me, because even if you don't want to treat it or you don't know about it, you should. If you're just educated about it, you can help so many different people.
1,000,000%, because we don't necessarily we can't blame all these traditional Western medicine doctors, right, for missing this Lyme piece, because it was not part of their
Right.
training. You know what I
Right.
mean?
You don't
It's
know what you don't know.
yeah, there's a small section on diet and nutrition, but it's the fact that some practitioners will want to just dismiss you and gaslight you versus acknowledge it. So I love to hear that more of these, MDs are kind of at least diving into being curious and opening that box that, hey, if this, and this happens, or if there's a mysterious patient, like, let's look into Lyme. I can't help you, but I could lead you down a Lyme road, right? Like, that's all we can ask for.
Right.
It's just we can't do the gaslighting because, honestly, I'm pretty confident in saying that these doctors that go to school to become a doctor is truly because they have a good heart and they want to help others. But like you said, Kate, you don't know what you don't know. And so
Right.
be curious and think outside the box and be open to the different things. Time and things are ever evolving, and there's so many different things and things that we thought were good for us, or we're finding out they're bad for us. We just don't know what we don't know. And so that's why knowledge
Right.
is truly powerful. So,
Yeah.
if I can ask you, one last question, and this may be a little bit of a loaded question, but as a practitioner dealing with Lyme and your patients, what do you find to be the biggest challenge? And there's a lot, right? Like, we'll just throw right out the window the fact of getting a proper diagnosis, because that's just a challenge everywhere, right? Like, we know that everybody struggles with that. But I like to, I had a listener reach out to me and say, I would love to know, like, what are the biggest challenges from these practitioners? And of course, they're all going to have different answers. It's just a matter of your little world that, of your patients that you're seeing. So, is there anything in particular that kind of stands out to you?
I mean, I would just say that there's really no set treatment protocols for people, because everything is so individualized and different, and what works for one person might not work for the next person. And so, as practitioners, it's always, an evolving, ever-changing area that we always have to be on high alert about different changes, or different medications or different supplements that might help this person or might help this person. I mean, when I went to the Igenix conference, I was constantly thinking about, everything, every little bit of information that I got, I thought, who could this apply to in my practice? And so it's just always like thinking about these difficult cases to, really try to make a difference in somebody's treatment. But I would say, definitely a lot of people kind of undermine the aspect of the emotional healing component that really kind of keeps people from breaking through some of those barriers. And, it's a hard thing to address for a lot of people, but a lot of people, like, that's what's holding them back. And so, having that good support system and having, a great therapist, if ketamine is an option, I highly recommend ketamine therapy. But I would say that emotional component for people, they don't think that that has as much of an impact on things. But I like to use the analogy of, if you can imagine your foot having a bunch of different nails in it, one nail is, trauma at 5 years old, one is birth trauma, one is vaccine injuries, one is the diet throughout your life, the exposures that you've had, the toxicities, the lime, the mold, the heavy metals, a bad marriage, a car accident, all of these things. And if you took out one nail, you're still going to have pain in the bottom of your foot when you stepped. So you have to address all of those things in order to not feel that pain anymore.
Best answer ever. I love that because I 1,000,000% agree with you is the emotional part of it, and a lot of times, I'll say to somebody, maybe you got some blocked traumas you need to work on and deal with. Which, by the way, there's a couple of books that I always recommend. One is The Emotion Code by Dr. Bradley Nelson, and then Your Body Keeps the Score. And of course, I can't remember the author of that one, but they're both really great books, right? That can kind of help you along this journey. But I say it's kind of, a couple of things. One, when you say that, you have this trauma from your childhood, and they immediately jump to the conclusion that you think they were physically abused or sexually abused, and that is the furthest thing that I'm talking about. Although that could be their scenario, right? It could be, like you mentioned, Kate, trauma from birthing. You had a hard time coming through the birth canal when your mother had you. It could be all sorts of different types of traumas that you may not even know. And so working through these emotion things, you can release them from your body, right? So that you can truly heal at the bottom of the foundation. And then I also say, okay, so say your life, your child, everything was perfect. You still have traumas from going through this journey. It is like going through a grieving process, is the way I look at it, or try to explain it to somebody. And you can jump on Google and Google the grieving process, right? And there's a couple different ones. They'll give you 7 steps, 10 steps, whichever one you like, but it truly is a process. Think about what we go through in this journey, right? Like, first of all, we probably lost friends, relationships, right? May have lost our career. We may have lost all of our finances. We don't know who we are anymore. Lost our confidence. Like, we lost so much, and you have to heal from that. You can't just snap your fingers and, okay, I'm well and I'm better and go about your life, because something is going to trigger you. And it's going to bring up that trauma, that emotion that you never worked through. And so, love, 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 love that answer, Kate, because I think it's a huge piece that people miss. And it's a tough, long, expensive, draining journey. And when we get through it, my gosh, we don't want to go through it again. So please, listeners, if you are listening to this, and just understand the importance of this emotional side of this journey, because we want you to get well, and then we want you to stay well and not live in fear, not, live in bubble wrap, right? Like, we want you to go out and hike. We want you to go out and be outdoors. Like, that is our nature. That is our medicine. But we understand the fear of the PTSD. It's a real thing. And so are these blocked traumas and emotions. And so I love that. Ugh.
And, if I can just say one more thing, I would say, when trying to find a practitioner to treat you in this journey, don't find somebody that's only going to address the mold, because there's so much of a bigger picture in terms of toxins. And, if you don't address all of those toxins and detox from them, yeah, you might get better initially, but you still have all of that that's draining the immune system that the body is trying to fight against and keep you healthy. And so you know, it's never going to be sustainable. So you always have to look at the big picture with all toxicities. We're not invincible, and you know, if you haven't detoxed from everything, then you're not truly better.
Absolutely agree. And I just truly, I so appreciate what you do because and I'm a little biased because I love all the modalities that you use, right? But we love what worked for us and we loved what gave us our life back. And so many of those is what worked for me. But it's so important, like you said, to find a practitioner that is going to address all the different layers. It's not, it's not just your little niche, right? Or one little piece of it. And so it really is important. And even along with that, you could hear so many amazing success stories from a practitioner, right? So it is your mission to go to this practitioner. If you do not feel right with them, if you do not feel comfortable with them, if something in your gut is screaming at you, they may not be the practitioner for you, even though, right, like they cured everybody, they fixed everybody. You really have to go with your gut when you are seeking out a practitioner and make sure that you really resonate with them. Make sure that they are hearing you, they are seeing you, and they are validating things that you are saying because we have the right to tell our treating physician what we are feeling. Why we were feeling this. If your practitioner is throwing a bunch of things at you and you don't understand what it is, you have the right to ask them, what is this? Why do you think I would benefit from this? Right? Like you guys work for us. And I think so many times people feel the flip side. You know what I mean? Not that I have been fired from a doctor before too, but that's because they said I was crazy. But I mean, we can fire our practitioners. It's just really important. If you don't have a practitioner you're working with that you truly resonate with, it can absolutely inhibit your healing. And so
Right.
just always keep that in the back of your mind. So, oh my gosh, Kate, this has been such a fun episode because I don't get to talk about a lot of my favorite things. So I know that, again, you are you're currently in Chesterton, Indiana at Optimal Health and Wellness. And listeners, as always, I'll have all the information in her website in the description of this episode. But you do a little bit of telemed, right? Like telehealth. Can you tell us real quick what that looks like in in your practice? Because I know a lot of people can't, travel all over the states or anything. So
So I mean, obviously I've kind of adapted some of the my most favorite treatment modalities that can be completed in the office, but not everything needs to be done like that. So there are, you know, different supplement protocols that we can do that can be done, you know, seeing treating somebody virtually. So I have to practice more as like a health coach, so I can't prescribe medication across state lines, but you know, I am still a nurse practitioner and can do all of the things in my state, but outside of the state, I can still practice and treat patients for Lyme.
awesome. I love that. And is that in all states or just certain states? And certain states, they can just reach out to your office and find out the information.
In all states.
Awesome. That's wonderful. That doesn't happen a lot. Sometimes we're limited to, different areas of ourselves. So, all right. Well, any last thing, or we kind of touched on a lot of things. So I think it was packed full of a lot of great information. So thank you again for taking the time to join me, and thank you for, treating us out there and being a source for people to reclaim their life because it truly is possible. So I appreciate you.
Well, thank you for all you do, and you're such an inspiration to all the Lyme healers out there, and you know, everybody that's going through this. I definitely have recommended your podcast to a lot of my patients, and you know, seeing that you can, you know, get better and you know, they'll see the light at the tunnel soon, I think is very motivational and inspirational for them.
Yes. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yep. We just want to shout out the podcast because we lose hope so many times during this journey. And it's all about just giving that hope and inspiration. So I hope that's what all of you listeners take away from this episode. So thank you so much, Kate.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.